You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on My Name is Tawny. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on My Name is Tawny, and I Believe in Miracles by Tawny Adewumi and his parents. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. My name is Tawny, and my family likes to say I ask a lot of questions. They're right. I like puzzles. I like riddles. I like trying to figure out why things happen and how things work. But things have been different lately. Instead of asking the questions, I've been the one trying to answer them. A lot of people have wanted to know all kinds of things about me and my life. They want to know what life was like for me and how I feel about the things that have changed. They want me to tell my story, and I want to tell it, but there's never enough time to say everything that's in my head. So this book is going to be my answer. By Tawny Adewumi from My Name is Tawny. So the weekend before I created this note, Emerson and I had one of our boys-only weekend chess tournament trips. This one was to Houston for one of the biggest tournaments of the year, the 90th annual Southwest Open. On the second morning of that tournament, we took the elevator up to the fifth floor of our hotel with a boy slash young man with great energy who was dripping with sweat. I asked him if he just worked out. He said he had just gone for a 5-mile run. I was impressed and asked him if he ran track at school. He said that he just loved to run. I was even more impressed. When we got out of the elevator, Emerson told me that he thought that awesome kid was a chess prodigy named Tawny. As it turns out, that awesome kid was Tawny, one of the greatest young chess players in the country, whose story is truly heroic. Now, we ran into Tawny again later in the tournament, and I told him how much we've loved watching him on Chess Kid with Funmaster Mike as we celebrated his pre-match protocol and chatted about Emerson's. In addition to that morning run, Tawny does 20 push-ups before each match and was impressed that Emerson does 33 burpees before every one of his matches. Then I grabbed a picture of him and Emerson to capture that special moment, knowing that in 5 to 10 years, it will be really fun to look back at these two great boys who are committed to being great chess grandmasters. You can check out that picture. I linked to it in this note. Now, I knew Tawny had a book, so I immediately got it. I read it in one sitting. Took a little break, but read it basically in one sitting. I also knew that his story was inspiring, but I had no idea it was as incredibly inspiring and heroic as it is. It's written by Tawny and his mom, who we also met in the elevator that morning, and his dad, along with a guy named Craig Borlase. The super abridged one-line summary? Well, Tawny is a Nigerian refugee who won the New York State K-3 championship while living in a homeless shelter. It's hard to put into words just how inspiring the book is. We'll discuss the details in a moment, but I was in tears throughout much of it. I highly recommend it. We've got a link to get a copy of it in the note. The book is packed with wisdom, and I'm excited to share some of my favorite big ideas, so let's jump straight in. P.S. We recently featured wisdom from another great chess player, Maurice Ashley. In his great book, Move by Move, Maurice tells us about his heroic quest to become the first black chess grandmaster. We'll talk about his story a bit more in a moment. For now, first big idea, fear in a flash drive. Now, this is a chapter written by Tawny's mother. She says, my husband knows very little about chess, but he knows all about sacrifice. He knows that sometimes you must be willing to lose something precious in order to protect what you hold closest to your heart. He knows what it is to face an opponent who is ruthless, brutal, and hungry for your destruction. And he knows that in life there are moments when the only way to make it through to the victory that lies ahead is to be prepared to stand and fight until the very last breath, end quote. Now, in the first chapter, Tawny shares his recollection of the day school closed early. In the second chapter, from which that passage above is taken, Tawny's mom shares the story of what drove Tawny and their family from Nigeria. The chapter is called Fear in a Flash Drive. Here's the short story. Tawny's mom was raised Muslim. His dad was raised Christian. They are practicing Christians. Now, Tawny's dad ran a successful print shop in Nigeria with 13 employees in Abuja, the capital city of Nigeria. One day, four men came into his shop to get 25,000 posters printed. Those men were part of the terrorist organization known as Boko Haram, which has killed hundreds of thousands of people in Nigeria over the last two decades. As Tani's dad puts it, and I quote him, "Ever since a group of militants abducted 276 girls from a high school in northeast Nigeria in 2014, the whole world has known the name Boko Haram. As the Nigerian Taliban, the West African cousin of ISIS, Boko Haram's aim is to establish an Islamic state or caliphate in my homeland. Ruthless and wicked, Boko Haram fighters are the type of people who post videos online of men they have captured being decapitated." Now, the posters they wanted printed featured their notorious logo with, and I quote, "two AK-47s on either side of a thick book with a black and white flag flying over the top. There was not a single person," Tani's mom says, "in Nigeria at the time who would not have recognized it. In Arabic, above the logo, it said, 'No to Western education,' and 'Kill all Christians.'" Now, Tani's dad, of course, refused to print the posters, but the local police couldn't be trusted, and he needed to figure out a way to handle the situation. He came up with a plan. The next day, when the men from Boko Haram came back to his print shop expecting a quote for the work, he tried to convince them that his machines had stopped working, so he couldn't do the job, as he gave them the flash drive back, telling them he hadn't opened the file. They didn't believe him. He fled out of his print shop. They found him at his house and tried to break in through the front door. The family then fled to another city where they stayed for weeks. The men from the terrorist organization followed them, broke in again, and held Tani's mom at gunpoint. She survived. They fled again, this time to America, which is our next big idea. Longing for shelter. Quote, 12 hours after we arrived at PATH, P-A-T-H, Prevention, Assistance, and Temporary Housing, after we had seen so many different people and sat at so many different desks, we received the news that we had been hoping for all day. We had been offered accommodations. This is written by Tani's dad. He says, "I called Pastor Philip. He cheered and thanked God. We have been told that we are going to be housed at a shelter." "Is that like a tent?" Tani's dad asked him. "No," said Pastor Philip. "A shelter is good. You will be with lots of other people who are homeless. There will be staff there who can help you find schools for the boys, find work, and progress your asylum claim." "That's good?" "Yes, it is. Did they tell you where it is?" "Yes," I said, looking at the piece of paper. I did not recognize the address. "Where is Manhattan? Is it near Queens? My wife and I hope so. We really want to be near you and the church." "Manhattan? They're putting you in a shelter in Manhattan? That's good." I get emotional reading this. "That's good, my friend," the pastor said. "It is? Why? Is it near Queens?" "No, it's better than Queens, believe me." "Oh, Jesus," he says, "Manhattan is the center. You're going to be in the center of the greatest city on earth. What's the address?" Tony's dad says, "I could pause right now and stop because I'm getting emotional, but I won't. I'll keep on going. As I said, I cried throughout this book." Tony's dad says, "I looked again. 30th Street, Park Avenue." There was a small pause. Then I heard him exclaim, "Whoa, is that good too? Is it good? Yes, it's good, Coyote. It's really good. God is blessing you mightily. Park Avenue is the best road in the whole city, and you're going to be living there. Praise God." He said, "We waited another hour before the bus arrived to drive us from the PATH office to the shelter. We were all tired by that point and perhaps a little nervous too, as we sat with our bags on our laps and by our feet. But as we drove along the great canyons of concrete and glass and bright lights, I remembered something my father would say when I was younger. It was good advice, and I wanted to pass it to my sons. 'Know where you came from,' I said. 'Whatever lies ahead in the shelter on Park Avenue, let us not forget who we are or where we come from. Let us choose always to be polite and respectful, to be kind and generous. Let us not forget that we are Yoruba, that we are the grandson and great-grandsons of a king. Let us show our appreciation for this blessing by being a blessing to others. Do you agree?" "Amen," said Tani's mom, his brother, Amen, amen. Now that's from chapter number 22. It's written again in Tawny's dad's voice. It's called Longing for Shelter. Now I read it nearly weeping as I just read you the passage. The book is an incredibly inspiring integration of a bunch of love stories. The family's love for one another, their love and faith in God, their son's love of chess, their love for all the people who have supported them along the way, and their love for America. It made me incredibly proud to be an American, and equally proud to serve the U.S. military forces we've been blessed to serve, who protect our freedoms and help defend the helpless from terrorist organizations like the Boko Haram. It also made me incredibly humbled by the good fortune with which we have been blessed, and that much more committed to doing everything in my power to give back to those less fortunate. Now, the night before they moved into the shelter that Tawny called the hotel instead of the homeless shelter, he said, "Before we went to bed, we did what we always do and prayed for half an hour. Mom and Dad usually start, and then Austin and I join in. We sing some songs, then thank him for all the good things he has given us." There was a lot to thank God for that night. Now, a couple nights before that, Tawny's mom shares a story about a conversation she had with his dad after a new friend told him, "You are in America now. You have to forget that you were the CEO back in Nigeria. You have to put aside the part of you that was chairman of your company. Here, you just have to do whatever you can." Tawny's mom asked his dad how he felt about that. And Tawny's dad said, "I will do whatever I have to do to move my family forward." She asked, "Even if that means taking on a job that you would not ever dream of doing back in Nigeria?" He said, "Whatever it takes. No job can be beneath me if it means I can provide for the people I love." I read that with tears in my eyes as well. Beneath that passage, I wrote, protectors. The definition of being heroic, having the strength for two. P.S. Check out our notes on Maurice Ashley's Move by Move for the story of his mom's heroic sacrifices. Next big idea, the hero meets his guide. Quote, "My school was P.S. 116, and it is on East 33rd Street. It takes 10 minutes to walk there from the hotel. And the percentage of not nice people there was maybe the same as the hotel, but probably lower. There were a lot more people at school than there were at the hotel, and I didn't know all of them. Mom had always told Austin and me to be polite and friendly and to say sorry if we do anything wrong and not to keep being mean to someone if they've apologized to us. If you're actually like that at school, then hardly anyone will have a problem with you." Then he continues by saying, "But in the same way that Miss Maria was the nicest person out of everyone in the hotel, there was one teacher at PS 116 who was even nicer than the others. His name was Coach Sean Martinez. He didn't buy me donuts or give me sneakers, but he gave me something even better. He taught me how to play chess." That's from chapter number 19 called My First Chess Lesson, in which our young hero meets the guide who would change his life. Coach Sean and Coach Ross, another one of Tawny's coaches, are jaw-droppingly awesome. Truly heroic. More on them in a moment. Now, right before Tawny tells us about Coach Sean and his first chess lesson, he tells us about Miss Maria, the kind woman who worked at the homeless shelter. One day, Miss Maria gave Tawny a gift, new sneakers. Now, as I read that story, I immediately thought of a moment in my life when a kind woman in my grade school bought me some new shoes. Although I was infinitely more blessed to be born in the United States, never faced the life-threatening dangers and abject poverty that Tawny and his family endured in their heroic quest to America, I did experience my own financial hardships as a little boy. My father worked in a grocery store and didn't make a lot of money. As the youngest of five kids, all of whom went to Catholic school for 12 years, we were always worried about money. My mom cut so many coupons and shopped so precisely at multiple grocery stores that I vividly remember both her coupon box and the fact that there was always as much red ink on the grocery store receipts as there was black, indicating that basically every item had been purchased with a coupon. Side note, Abraham Maslow, once said that that type of creativity was as powerful as any other. I got tears in my eyes typing that. Bless you, Mom. Now, in addition to cutting coupons, we never shopped for clothes. My mom made all of my clothes other than my sports uniforms. But When the sports season arrived, I'd always wear old cleats until the sale started a few weeks into the season. Then I'd always get huge shoes that were way too big that required multiple socks so I could grow into them. Now, one day when I was probably around 11 or 12 years old, I forgot my shoes for basketball practice. I was about to ride my bike home to get them when an incredibly thoughtful PE teacher, I can picture her kind face right now, and I'm pretty sure her name was Tanya, took me to the local department store called Mervyn's and bought me the nicest shoes I'd ever gotten. Get tears in my eyes again. I couldn't believe it then, and I still get emotional thinking about it now. That woman couldn't have made any more money than Miss Maria made, but I imagine she knew that a young boy would be incredibly thrilled. Interactive kindness remains an indelible memory nearly four decades later. Now, with all that in mind, let's take a moment to appreciate the guides and benefactors who helped us on our heroic quests as we commit to giving back in equal measure today. Next big idea, Tawny's first and second trophy. Quote, I won the tournament. Everyone was really, really excited for me, and I was so happy too. People were saying, wow, you've only been playing for 2 months, and you've just gone 3-0. I liked it when they said that. I liked it when Coach Sean gave me a massive high five, and Coach Russ told me, I'm so proud of how hard you're working, and when Mom gave me a big hug that lasted forever. But do you know what I liked best about it all? I won my first ever trophy. The second time I got a trophy, I didn't really win it. It was at a tournament that Coach Russ organized. I finished 11th, and because it was probably only my 6th or 7th tournament, I didn't know that people who finished 11th don't usually get trophies. So I was feeling sad when the top 10 players who finished above me were all invited up at the end to receive theirs. Just when people were about to leave, Coach Russ came over to me and said, what's up? I told him that I was not happy because I had not won the trophy, and he said, wait here. I waited. He came back a few minutes later. He was holding a trophy and a pen. I watched him write something on the trophy and hand it over to me. It said, Tawny, most improved player, never stop, and never ask for a trophy again. I looked back at Coach Russ. He was smiling at me. I decided then and there I would never ask for another trophy. If I was going to get any more, I'd win them myself, end quote. That's from a chapter called My First Ever Trophy. Tawny played in his first tournament a month after learning how to play. He finished 46th out of 57 kids. He drew 2 games and lost 1. His provisional rating after that tournament was 105. The lowest possible rating is 100. I got goosebumps typing that because I created a +1 based on a conversation I had with Emerson right when he really got into chess and decided that he wanted to become a master. The theme? Well, the +1 is called To Become a Master, We Must Start as a Beginner. Fun fact, you can see Tawny's progression since that first tournament when he was a 105 all the way through the tournament he played last weekend where he was a 24-44. He's approaching Grandmaster. I got a link in the note to check it out if you're curious. It's pretty cool to see. And you can also see Emerson's progression in U.S. Chess or on U.S. Chess at that same website. I got a link to that as well. Now, if you look closely, you'll see that Tawny started playing in tournaments 6 years ago, while Emerson started about 18 months ago. But they both went from 0 to 1,500 in their first year, which is exciting. Now, the other really important point from this idea, Tawny's coach perfectly embodied the wisdom of wise feedback and the mentor mindset David Yeager talks about in his great book called 10 to 25, The Science of Motivating Young People. Yeager is Carol Dweck's protege. That book is fantastic. Note is coming out soon. Now, he let Tawny know, his coach did, that he has very high standards, while letting him know that he expects him to hit those standards and that he will be his biggest supporter to make that happen. Next big idea, how miracles happen. Quote, we ate well that night and we filled the apartment with laughter too. And as I looked around at them all, Jews and Muslims, non-believers and Christians, it struck me that even though our story started with hatred and division, it was now about unity. As I mingled and laughed and talked with our guests, so many of their words stayed with me. "I've been writing for a long time," said Nicholas, "but I've never seen anything like it. No news lasts more than 24 hours in America, but this story just keeps on going." "Your son has been an angel in my life," said Coach Sean. "People want to counter to all the negativity these days," said Coach Russ, "and that's what Tawny's story does. It reminds us that good is stronger than evil, that we can be kind, that we can be generous, that people do care. It's the American dream all over, a reminder that this country was built for good. It shows that God exists, and I really believe that the idea of Tawny can create a positive change in the world." I remembered the article that I read about Coach Sean in the New York Times. Right at the end, it described the way he approached chess, saying that he played in an aggressive style and liked to use his pawns as attackers. "When you put pawns together, there's no stopping them," he said. "You put two or three together and they practically control the whole game." Looking around at the apartment that night, I could see that there were some powerful people, men and women with fame and influence in the world. But there were others too, the kind of people who don't have great wealth or great recognition. Immigrants, people who worked hard, educators and pastors, people who go quietly about their lives, just moving forward day by day. People like my husband and me. In other words, pawns. I thought about all those small gifts to the campaign. What can $5 buy? What change can $10 make in the world? Not much, it would seem. But put them together with the generosity of 4,000 other people, and these dollars can add up to something significant. That's how miracles happen. End quote. Now, those are the final words of the book in a chapter called Paying It Forward. Tawny was introduced to the world via a story in the New York Times by Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Nicholas Kristof called "This 8-Year-Old Chess Champion Will Make You Smile." Check it out. I got it linked in the note. Now, he also wrote a couple follow-up articles called "Our Chess Champion Has a Home" and "Remember the Homeless Chess Champion? The Boy Is..." Check out each of those articles. Seriously, read them. They're amazing. After that first article, Coach Russ created a GoFundMe page for Tawny and his family to help them get out of the homeless shelter. They hope to raise $10,000. Again, Tawny won the New York State Championship for K through third graders while living in the homeless shelter. So they hope to raise $10,000. They raised over $250,000. And an anonymous hero paid for their rent for a year and bought Tawny's dad, who is now an Uber driver, a new car. With all that extra support, you know what Tawny and his family did with the $250,000? They gave it away to other refugees and homeless people. I'm telling you, this family is heroic. They're making a movie on Tawny's life, and I can't wait to see it. For now, I'm reminded of Margaret Mead's wisdom: never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Let's remember how miracles happen as we give the world all the love we've got today. That is a quick look at this great book. My name is Tawny. What a special human being. And I believe in miracles, which is actually the first quote we have on the sidebar. Tawny telling us, I believe in miracles. Tawny, you and your family are miracles. Tawny's dad tells us, "When my wife and I named our sons, we chose carefully. Our firstborn, Austin, named Adashina. It means God opens doors to us. The world now knows our son as Tawny, but Tawny Tolua means who is like God." Tawny's dad also says, "My father would look at me, place his hands on his hips, and lock eyes on mine. I am teaching you how to make it in life. You are a prince, but do you want to be a king like my father? Nobody will ever choose a lazy person to be king. Never rely on your family name alone. Work hard, always." His mom says, "Wow," said her husband as he looked out the window at the buildings towering above us. "What kind of country pays for its homeless people to live in a hotel? A country that knows how to care for its people," she said. "A good country run by kind people." As I said, this book is just a love story, a bunch of them wrapped into one. their love for one another, their love and faith in God, their son's love of chess, and their love of America. Tawny's coaches told him, in chess, the people who work hardest are the ones who do the best. Regardless of your circumstances or resources, anyone can be good. All you need is the will and the passion. Now, to be clear, Tawny worked insanely hard. The number of puzzles that he completed in the first weeks and months of playing chess is mind-boggling. Emerson did his own version of hard work, but just unbelievably inspiring to see just how hard he worked and just how true his coach's wisdom was. His mom tells us, besides the chess program and Coach Russ's words, Tawny had another reason to be happy. I had bought him his own chess set and had just given it to him that morning. It cost $5 and it was a lot of money, but I figured I could take it out of that week's food budget, buy less meat, and hope that the boys didn't notice. Seeing the joy on his face as he opened the chess set made my husband and me happy too. Tawny says, people are kind. Sometimes you find someone who can be mean to you, but most of the time, people are kind. He tells a story about how he learned how to do percentages by calculating the number of nice people in his homeless shelter. It came out to 95%. His mom tells us, one thing about Tawny, he never gives less than 100% to anything he's interested in. Which made me think of John Wooden. Competitive greatness, the cornerstones are enthusiasm, a love for what you do, going all in and working hard. We got a plus one on that coming up soon. Back to his mom for the final thought. She tells us, Coach Sean pulled all the players from PS 116 together and told them to listen up. To be a champion, you have to have the mindset of a champion. Remember what Magnus Carlsen said when the journalist asked him if he was going to win the tournament? All five players answered as one, chanting the words together. I'm not worried about winning. I'm worried about playing my best. There you go. The ultimate game. Do your best. Live with arte. Close the gap between who you're capable of being, who you're actually being. Moment to moment to moment. How will you do that a little bit more today? Get on that. Today is the day to show up with gratitude for all the blessings that we have received and to give back in equal measure. I, like Tawny, believe in miracles. Let's go out and make today a great day.
We hope you enjoyed that philosopher's note. Go to heroic.us to download more.